Well, today is Palm Sunday, the beginning of the holiest week of the year for the church. And during this week, we encourage you to persevere in your Lenten prayers and sacrifices that you've been doing during these almost last 40 days of Lent, and also to try to finish off Lent with a good home stretch. And of course, one of the best ways to do this is to try to participate in all of the church's liturgies that we have during this coming week. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we have our regularly scheduled 9 o'clock daily Mass at the Benedictine Monastery. It's a very beautiful Mass. A lot of people have been to, obviously, Sunday Masses, Saturday night Masses, but they've never actually gone to a daily Mass during the week. And believe it or not, they're only about 25 minutes. Did you know that? A lot of people don't realize that. They think the Mass on Sunday and daily Mass would be the same time, but the daily Masses only take about 25 minutes. So if you have an opportunity, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week, come to daily Mass, if possible, every day this week to really end Lent on a very strong note. Now, Holy Thursday is one of the most important days during the church year. Holy Thursday, we will have the Mass of the Lord's Supper here at the high school, 7:30 on Thursday evening. And during that Mass, we wash the feet representing the apostles, Jesus washing their feet. We also commemorate the institution of the Eucharist and the priesthood. And then on Good Friday, we'll have the Stations of the Cross at 12 noon at the monastery. And then I'll hear confessions after the Stations of the Cross until the line runs out. So I'd encourage you to come to Stations on Friday if you're available, if it doesn't interfere with your family commitments and your work schedule. But then on Good Friday evening is the special Good Friday service that we have here at the high school at 7:30. And it's at that service that we have the veneration of the cross, the reading of the Passion, and the distribution of Holy Communion. Again, try to participate in as many of these liturgical services as you can in fitting into your schedule. Then on Holy Saturday will be the last opportunity for confessions before Easter. From 10 in the morning until 12 noon for 2 hours, another visiting priest and I will be hearing confessions at the monastery for 2 solid hours. So again, if you haven't had a chance to make your good Lenten confession yet, you can consider doing that on Saturday morning. And then at 12 noon, we'll bless the Easter food baskets, which is a very nice tradition, the blessing of the Easter food at 12 noon on the steps of the monastery. Well, then really the epitome of the Easter schedule is the Easter Vigil Mass, which will be held here at the high school at 8:30 on Saturday night. Now, it has to be 8:30 because of daylight savings. The sun has to be set in order for the Easter Vigil to start. It's a very, very important, the most important liturgical event of the year is that Saturday night Mass. Now, we have the great privilege of I'll be confirming 31 people during that Mass, and many of them will be baptisms of adults that have never been baptized. Many people will be received into the church and receiving their first Holy Communion. So that Mass will be, just to give you a little warning, a little longer than 25 minutes, okay? That'll be about an hour and 45 minutes. But if you want to come and see the people received into the church, it's a very beautiful occasion. And then, of course, on Easter Sunday, we have our regular 8:15, 9:30, and 11, the regular Sunday schedule, a week from today on Easter Sunday. So again, participate in as many of these services as you can. Now, I just want to mention one theme that is present in all three of the readings that we had today. The first reading that we had today was from Isaiah the prophet. The second reading was from Paul's letter to the Philippians. And then the gospel was St. Mark's account of the Passion. And there is a theme in those three readings. And the theme is the humility of God. And when we think of what Jesus went through. And as you know, Jesus is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the eternal Son of God who became incarnate. And the book of the prophet Isaiah says, in reference to the Messiah, I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard, my face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. Try to imagine that. That here is God who became man, the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, offered his back to the whips, the scourges. He offered his face to the beatings. Even they plucked his beard, they slapped him, they hit him. He says he did not shield his face from buffets and spitting. Imagine the humility of God in Christ offering himself in that really lowly and humble way, allowing his creatures to spit upon him. And then that second reading summarizes it so beautifully, that Jesus, even though he was in the form of God, did not esteem equality with his Father something to be held on to, but rather he emptied himself and took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of man. So here we have an account, a beautiful hymn written by St. Paul about how God's Son emptied himself and not only became man, but even took the form of a slave. It says he humbled himself, obediently accepting death, death on the cross. That was the most humiliating form of capital punishment, because Roman citizens could not be crucified. You had to be either a traitor, a criminal, or a slave to undergo crucifixion. Well, here he was, the Son of God was crucified in this most terrible form of execution. And he accepted it, offering his life for you and for me, for our salvation. So again, we see the humility of God in becoming man and dying on the cross for us. But then it says, because of this, God the Father exalted Christ and bestowed upon him the name above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bend in the heavens, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue profess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Christ humbled himself, and now, of course, he is exalted at the right hand of his Father. And then lastly, in today's Gospel, we had that reading of Jesus entering into Jerusalem in such a humble way. Jesus could have rented a chariot for the occasion, right? He could have come in on a large war horse to come into the city, but he didn't do that. He came in as the humble Messiah. Look how he came into Jerusalem. The way he came in was a message to the people that he was a humble Messiah, that he had come to die for their sins, and he had come to give his life in such a humble way. The Lord entered into Jerusalem on the donkey, and that's what we remember today during this Palm Sunday Mass. And notice how humble Jesus was to do that. And I often think of that, of how Jesus came into that city of Jerusalem and how he comes into our own life. Jesus comes into our own life usually in very ordinary, very simple, and very humble ways. Think of the Eucharist. The Eucharist, which our 31 people will be receiving really for their first time at the Easter Vigil. Think of how humble Jesus is to come to us under the appearances of bread and wine. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and he comes into our lives at every Mass that we attend. But he comes to us, he rides into our hearts under the appearances of bread and wine. So Jesus loves us so much. Not only did he become incarnate for us, but he suffered for us, and he gives us himself in the Eucharist to be our food, to be our nourishment. So remember that. Remember that theme of Palm Sunday. The whole theme of those readings is humility. The humility of God And we see in that the depth of his love for each one of us, culminating, of course, in his coming into our lives in the most humble of way to be our food, to be the bread of life in the Holy Eucharist. God bless you.